The following is simply the opinions of two South Carolina citizens. The views expressed herein are not endorsed by any employers, family members, or government employees. This podcast may contain adult language, atypical thinking, and just plain craziness. Be advised that critical thought may be a side effect of exposure to this content. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Bogmat Podcast. Joining me today is my friend, partner, guest, Jeff Maddox.
We are comrade, too.
Yeah, comrade. Don't use the C word. It's
offensive. You know, they've stolen every word,
yeah.
Every good word. Liberal.
Yeah. Right, liberal is a good thing.
Capitalism, they've stolen that one.
We are coming to you today from the undisclosed location deep in the heart of Kershaw County. Here in South Carolina, on a muggy morning. Did it rain? It rained last night.
Yeah, right? It rained pretty good last night.
Down for you guys. I don't think it rained much up here.
And it rained hard in Lugo.
But that's good. Bring on the rain. Rain brings growth.
It's a lot better than city water. Yeah. We don't have well water over there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you
have
some well water.
So the city water, that's what they feed the tax slaves.
With the special chemicals in it that are good for your teeth.
Yeah.
It's for your greater good. I want to start out by thanking our sponsors, the Cassett Country Store, down at the corner of Cassett Road and Highway 1. Thank you for providing us with the newspaper, the Chronicle Independent. I'm glad I don't have to pay for it anymore. And it's home to the best pizza in all of Cassett. Go see Aislinn up there. She'll hook you up with some good pizza. The Swamp Log Artisans Gallery in Bishopville. Go check them out and stay tuned for a commercial for them later on. Gus Philpott is a patron. If y'all go to patreon.com/SwampFoxNetwork, is that right? No, patreon.com/BoatMatPodcast, you can become a patron. And we're going to have some special features on there. Maybe we can post a video on there.
Yeah. Yeah, we can throw a video on there.
Yeah. And you can go to YouTube. Jeff Maddox page, MATTOX, and watch some of the good content he's putting out. Jeff, you just had a new video come out Friday or Saturday?
What day was it? Sunday.
Was it Sunday? Well, I thought today was Friday. It's Monday.
Yeah, what day is it?
It doesn't matter. Time is a construct, Jeff. It doesn't exist. But
yeah, criminals run the world.
Yeah, that was a good video. You had a rousing speech by the Gipper. Isn't that what they call him?
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan, back when he was...
that was in the 50s.
Yeah, that was when he was still coherent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he basically told on himself about politicians when you elect them, and then 6 months later they turn their back on you and do what they actually wanted to do, and they become criminals.
Yeah, I took a lot of clips, and Ronald Reagan talking about the public education system and the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve, but the Department of Education was just being formed there, and the federal government was really starting to take over the education system, and. He was talking about the dangers of it. And then, ironically, when he got in, one of his platforms during the campaign was to do away with what Jimmy Carter put in was the official Department of Education. Mm. And guess what? I don't know. I don't know what happened. I think he got shot at or something. He would never got rid of it.
Right.
And, in addition to that, expanded it.
Yeah, that's right. The government expanded, I don't know what the word would be, exponentially under Reagan. We had one of the sharpest rises in national debt ever because we were in an arms race with Russia, supposedly.
That was the story anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, Ronald Reagan talked a good game, but when it came down to actually doing it, I think he fell in line
just like everybody else.
The R's are military industrial. Back then, the R's would have been military industrial complex supporters, and the D's would have been social, like the war against the poor and all that, you know.
Yeah, they were progressive. They would say,
of course, like Vietnam, they were both on the South.
Right.
And then Nixon had to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another story.
Right.
Tricky Dicky.
Yeah, Tricky Dick. So today we're going to talk about solutions. You know, we've been talking a lot about the problems that are affecting Kershaw County, which mainly goes back to politics and education system, you know, the school board, and, or some people call it the screw board.
Screw-alls. They screw all the minds of mush. Yeah. But, Rush Limbaugh used to. I love that part.
And we've been able to affect a little bit of change. We kind of took a small victory lap the last time we were together, right? Very, very small. But since we last met, there have been a couple changes. The governor appointed Brent Tomlinson to the vacant county council seat.
As we thought he would.
As we thought he would. And the city of Camden held a special meeting after their city council meeting where the people showed up about their utility bills. Now they had a special meeting and they're going to put that 10% rate increase on hold for now.
Oh.
Apparently.
Well, it's an emergency.
They said it's absolutely necessary that we have to do this.
Holy cow.
But now it's on hold.
Well, what are they going to do? Are they going to have rolling blackouts?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. They probably took that 10%. Well, here's a.
There's not going to be any trucks. You know the price of. The price of fuel just came down. You
the
know
fuel
what I mean?
Surcharge is still there. Which was the big. That's the big moneymaker.
Oh, that's the big part.
Everybody pays the same amount.
Right,
so if you're
right.
budgeting, which one would you rather have? The percentage off the usage or a fixed income?
Well, you mean the lesser of the evils?
So if I
knew that it was a steady amount being sucked out of my bank account, then I could budget for it.
If you're a business too,
yeah,
you want to know how much you're getting every month instead of people turning their lights off and turning their air conditioners down a little.
Well, you know, the mafia was good about you have one flat fee for protection.
Yeah. No matter how
this is the same thing. I don't know why the mafia just doesn't come out and say, you know, flat fee.
Well, right.
Insurance.
So did we see a real solution come out of that city council's special meeting? No. We saw a temporary step back because the government pushed too far.
Well, they went two steps.
Right. They went two steps
and
forward.
And the tiptoe, two step forward, one step
That's
back.
That's right. And that's how they operate. They'll push you. So this was a big push by the county and the city of Camden on all the citizens. The citizens pushed back, so they took one little step back, and then everybody's going to ease up.
Oh, we pushed you a little bit. Aww.
Wait, you watch the next meetings and see how many people show up.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
If that place will be empty again, there'll be Tom Webb will be there, I'll be there.
Well, then in the city of Camden.
In the city of Camden.
Yeah.
But people don't know that there's two or three seats that are up for re-election in Camden this year.
I've ignored Camden, and a friend of mine that lives there, longtime buddy, got mad as hell at me for laughing and saying that I don't care about Camden, and that kind of got me, and so I said, let me look at what's going on. And so I did a little bit of homework.
Mm-hmm.
I went and found, the mayor, what's her name?
Drakeford,
yeah. Progressive from hell.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I said, oh, my God. Yeah. And then I went right down the thing. Oh, and she's chair of the Council of Governments.
That's right.
And I said, oh, shit, look at this. Mm-hmm. And so then I went down, and there's Jeffrey Graham. Mm-hmm. Now, I've known Jeffrey since he was a youngin', and he's a progressive.
He's a slumlord.
He is a progressive.
And he's on
all kinds of little advisory boards and all this kind of stuff, and the revolution. All of them are are in this little clique, this little socialist utopian clique.
The city council meeting.
You guys have got a hotbed of Marxists.
Oh, yeah. The city council meeting is just for show. The actual real business is being done at these little committees and these little meetings.
Yeah.
Coffee shop, you know, chats. Yeah. And that's where the business is being done.
Oh, it's always been like that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this is incredible. The people of Camden have no idea, for the most part. In general, the public there has no idea what the hell these people are.
Yeah, it's a little Moscow right there.
Holy shit. I was like, look at this, Josephine, look at this, look at this. Look, holy cow. And then when you go to the members of the Council of Governments, you start getting Sammy Tucker and Julie Burns and then all kinds of other people that are right in that clique too. Yeah. And you see the collusion. And then it's all coming out of that super Walmart of Cass Sunstein nudging people through government monies.
That's right. And procedures. They don't have a competitor. There's no competitor to the government.
This is a freaking mafia.
Yeah. They're like the, mafia. That's the only way to really put it.
And they're heading us into socialist hell.
Yes.
And that's why you're broke and you got to pay so much for a damn electricity bill.
Yeah. And you don't even pay attention. Most people don't even give a shit.
They're uneducated.
Yeah. So that's
We are ignorant. I was the most ignorant, flag waving, crazy nut job conservative in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm not.
So that's step one to a solution, right? Is to open your damn eyes.
Open your eyes.
You have to admit that there's a problem.
The government started this 150 years ago with public education.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that sex ed and transgender and all this kind of stuff invading the schools is kind of a new thing, they've been doing everything like this for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Decades. Look up Skinner. Look up B.F. Skinner and his little box teaching pigeons how to turn on light bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Pavlov's dogs.
Yeah. Yep.
Look at all this stuff. You have to educate yourself.
Well, you need to learn how to learn. Right?
Oh, Lord. You're talking deep.
You have to open your mind first to recognize that you don't know anything.
I have become educated enough to know that I don't know.
Right.
A whole lot of
shit. General Patton said that one time. You know, it's very important to know what you're supposed to know, but more importantly, you need to know what you don't know. Right. So that will tell you right there where the holes are, that these people are getting through the cracks like roaches. And that's really what it is. You don't see roaches creeping into your house. They sneak in there and they stay in the dark, but when you turn the light on, they run, right? But what happens if you turn the light off and turn your back? They come right back.
Yeah, the public education system was meant to dumb you down.
It's not even it's gotten into the private schools too, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. That's government regulations and all that kind of stuff.
So I went to Catholic school up till eighth grade. So looking back at my younger education, so-called education, my younger days in school, it's the same exact curriculum as the public schools were getting.
Yeah.
It's just we had to wear uniforms.
Yeah. And they were cute, too. We used to love their little cute little uniforms. Look at all them cute little uniforms.
Hate it. But now that I'm older, I'm like, yeah.
But in a lot of ways, and correct me if I'm wrong, some people get... school, one of the things was to make it painful to learn. You just fed, like a computer, fed in garbage in, garbage out, and you just recite what you've been told, and anything that varies from there is reprimanded, questioned, or you're ostracized in some way, shape, or form. And it becomes, man, I hate school. I hate this bullshit learning and all this. And when you get later in life, you have no desire because subconsciously it's painful.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. That sounds about right. You know, there's a few.
That's what you call stomping out critical thinking.
Yes. So, like I said, when I was a kid, if I raised my hand, well, usually I wouldn't raise my hand. I would just, you know, question what was being taught.
Yeah.
I'm a disruption.
Yeah.
And then I get moved to the back of the class, or I get put in a corner, or put out in the hallway. Right. And so that shows everybody else they made an example out of me. Everybody else, you better stay in line, or you're going to get isolated.
Yeah, I got pretty isolated too.
And that's what it is. It's an isolation punishment, which is
they counted me president 54 days out of the, my senior year. But yeah, we have to.
So how
I think it's
about,
critical to educate.
How do you go about recognizing there's a problem? Like, what happened, you know, with you, it was the housing crash in 08, right? Something
yeah.
catastrophic.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it was the death of some friends overseas, you know.
Yeah, the war.
Mm-hmm. And so it does it necessarily take something catastrophic to happen? A heroic dose of psilocybin mushrooms or something like that to make you have a near-death experience in your brain that you feel like, oh, shit, this is temporary. I need to pay attention.
Everybody's today. Different. Yeah, yeah. But it does seem to be pain involved.
Yeah. There's always growth in pain, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When you're lifting
weights.
But
it's something that slaps you upside the head and makes you go, what the hell?
Right.
And it's the question that begins the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And then you the action is what's missing. Because
right,
there's a lot of people that question right now,
yes.
What the hell is going on?
But they're not doing
the action.
Yeah.
And that's where I swear it's the public education system that has created this. Because this wasn't true in the time of the revolution when 97% of America was literate, fully literate and read.
That's what there's like 30 people here, though, Jeff.
Well, yeah, 30 people in Kershaw County, you know.
So, action is what needs to be taken. Some people are scared to take that step. That because they, you think it's a fear-based thing that the public education system puts the fear, like, because I remember our social, they call it social studies, not how the government works class, or, you know, not government. You don't get that until high school, right? But you're taught to worship the idols of the government, you know, the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, the White House. You're supposed to show reverence to these things, and
yeah,
and basically yeah, they're teaching you, they're indoctrinating you to worship the government.
Obedience, and creating its own religion.
Right.
That's why we call it statism.
Yes,
we're not supposed to trust government.
The
you know, they all the founding fathers, even the crooked ones,
mm-hmm.
said, "Don't trust us."
Yeah, Ben Franklin was a sneaky son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
But he had it right, you know. And Thomas Jefferson.
He told you the truth. We gave you a republic if you can keep it.
Right.
Ha, 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 ha.
Mm-hmm. Then he went to his Mason meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
He put his little thing in the apron.
What was his club? He wasn't...
Hellfire. Reasons,
but the Hellfire Club.
Yeah.
I forgot to mute my phone.
He had a Hellfire Club.
Yeah.
But they had to take away, to extinguish the mind of Americans that were based in education on freedom and liberty.
Mm.
That is the antithesis to government.
That's why Montessori schools always get bashed by the Department of Education. And they say, well, these kids are missing out on, you know, they need to get this particular curriculum and they need this, this, and this. No, these kids are out in the woods learning, like, oh, this is what a pine cone is.
Yeah.
This is what it does.
Yeah, or they choose what they want to learn at a certain time within a degree.
So this goes to our closing statement, open your minds. Second, don't trust the government.
And Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill him. Yeah. I just wanted to mention that.
But I didn't come up with this. This has been a motto of our nation since the beginning. You know, live free or die, or liberty or death. You know,
yes.
that all goes back to don't trust the government. They're not. The government is not here to help us. They're here to regulate, at the very best.
Well, they're not even here to regulate. Well, they're here to be neutral party.
They should be a neutral party, right?
Supposedly.
Opening your mind and maybe just having a little humility, and sometimes it's going to take something that will humble you. Unfortunately, it takes something that humbles you and brings you to and realize that you don't know anything. Of what you thought you knew is all a lie. And then you take that step into action, right? Which is scary, but being courageous has nothing to do with fear. It's acting even though you are scared.
Acting in the face of fear.
Right. So
you have to be willing to just understand that first step is going to be just like a baby trying to take his first step.
Yeah.
You're gonna you may fall. You're mm-hmm. gonna fall several times.
Right on your ass.
And you're going to get a lot of things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, and I did. Oh, my God, I did. Oh, yeah. I thought I was the smartest ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dan Johnson got me in a debate and whipped my butt, and I swore it wouldn't happen again. And that's when I did the what I thought was going to be painful, educating myself.
Right.
And it turned out it was not painful because I wanted it.
Yeah, once you get a
taste
of it.
I wanted to know
that
the answers to the question.
Freedom, you want more.
Yeah.
Right? And educating yourself is freedom. The knowledge is out there. Right? I used to tell my kids, they'd come ask me a question, and I would say, you need to find out the answer for yourself. You have the knowledge, all the knowledge of the entire universe in your hands with your phone. But you're just lazy.
Well, I mean, you could ask TikTok.
Right.
You know.
For sure.
Oh, I know. You could ask Sheriff Frankie Lee Bone Jr. No, he doesn't answer questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn. Julie Burns. No, he don't answer questions neither.
Right. So these people that we have put into positions of authority over our life
have come through the same system.
They've all come through the same system. And in fact, they've gone on to institutions of higher indoctrination like West Point or the FBI Academy,
yeah,
you know, or public universities
for further indoctrination.
Right.
You can look at these things as the minor league and the major league.
Mm-hmm.
The minor league is meant to weed out to the better of the better,
mm-hmm.
and then the college is to weed out the better of the betterest,
yeah.
and then you get the PhDs.
Yeah, the turf rides to the top.
Yeah, yeah.
The dogs are out, so check on them sooner rather than later.
Have a good day, baby.
Hi, everybody. Goodbye, everybody. I gotta go to work.
Yeah, kind of early in the morning.
A little bit.
Yeah, we're doing this early in the morning before the heat gets up.
There's no whiskey in here today. It's early AM. Yeah, those institutions of so-called higher learning. West Point's one of the worst, man. That's where they really hone your skills to be a statist there, because they're putting you into a military dictatorship style of leadership there. And you know, you at West Point, you have very few real proven leaders. They're getting their education from upperclassmen. So, you know, we had this conversation. What was I watching? The guy who created Blackwater, he was on a podcast I was watching.
Eric
Prince is his name. So
he
was at the Naval Academy. And he was looking around, and I think he got to his sophomore, maybe junior year, and he was really like, there's no Navy SEALs here teaching us how to lead. There's no, you know, pilots, real pilots they're all out leading and doing the damn thing. They were getting their education from upperclassmen on leadership. Like,
right.
They were putting people who don't know a damn thing about leadership in leadership positions. And then I started thinking, like, holy shit, that's how our government works. That's exactly what they do. They take these dummies who are easily controllable, make them think that they're in charge of something, make them think that they're is highly educated and smart and a person of authority. And then you put them in charge, and then they become tyrants. That's been throughout history where you have like a 12-year-old kid becomes king of England or whatever.
Yeah.
And then guess what? He becomes a fucking psychopath.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, who would have saw that coming?
Well, when they brought the Prussian system into education here.
Henry Ford.
I mean, it's the same kind of operation.
Right. Because you have people who were...
You can dress it up in sunshine and lollipops, but it's an indoctrination camp.
The public school system, they go to a public university, and then guess what? They go right back down and they start teaching. They don't have any real life working experience. Like, they've never. Yeah.
Well, look at the academics. Look at the academics in colleges anyway. They're not. It's kind of like in architecture and all. Generally speaking, the people that are teaching you never put a damn thing together by hand. Never been out there on a steel frame building. Never been. I always said you should apprentice for a number of years before you are allowed to draw a damn house.
Well, that's why engineering is so different from architecture, because engineers are actually in the field working.
Yeah.
And they do professional certifications. You know, you have a title called a professional engineer, right? And so you could be a college educated engineer, but guess what? Your ass is going to be out there in the field pouring concrete and rebar and, you know, studying. And it takes a long time for those guys to get put up into a position of authority as an engineer. And that's good. Maybe we should look into that a little bit. I think that would, and that's kind of like the Montessori way of learning, right? A little bit of classroom time, then we'd go outside and put it into practice.
Yeah.
And when I was an enlisted man in the Army, we would do crawl, walk, run. So we would do a chalkboard class, right? Then we would go out in the field and we would rehearse. We would do a dry fire, and then we would do a live fire. We had to crawl before we walked and walk before we ran.
Yeah.
And I put that into place in the fire service when I was running an engine company, a crawl, walk, run. And the guys bellyached a little bit at first because it was so basic, you know, how to tie a figure eight knot, all the different applications of the figure eight. And then we, you know, put our rope rescue systems into place slowly. Then we do it for time and put it into practice, right?
You struck on something right there. Getting back to basics.
Yeah.
Getting back to basics. And in our case, in the nation's case, in the world's case, as a matter of fact, we need to get back to the basics of what is this world we want to see. And I want to see a free world, and we have to determine, go back to the basic, what the hell is that?
Suffering.
What is that animal? Freedom.
That term.
I've asked many of people, and they can't really. They. It's abstract.
That phrase, self-reliant, shows up a lot in our original documents, right? The founding fathers, if you want to call them, to be self-reliant.
Yeah.
You don't see that at all coming from our government nowadays. It's bailouts and, you know,
for the greater
child
good,
tax credits, and, you know, we're going to give you a little bit of money back that we stole from you, and then you're going to be like, thank you, sir, man, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Go buy a new TV.
Managing everything, the whole thing is screwed up, and like I said earlier, before we even started this, that we don't have to overthrow this or abolish this or anything. We have to build something better and not comply with what is there. Just ignore them because it's a unicorn anyway.
Yeah. What did I say? Timothy Leary?
Yeah.
What does it turn on, tune in, drop out?
Yeah.
You know?
As soon as you figure out what's actually going on, you become basically anti-government. Freedom. Freedom is the antithesis of government, so government must take away liberty to grow in whatever shape, form, or matter that is. And if people do not understand that basic fundamental fact, then the tiptoe to tyranny, the fuel surcharge, and the rate increase. takes hold, and instead of going back two steps and saying hold on, they only go back one.
Right. Let me let's pause here. I want to say one thing that I learned this past week about the city of Camden, and then we're going to take a commercial break. Okay, so they hadn't had a rate increase in 10 years. They didn't increase their rates to stay in line with inflation in 10 years, and you have Mel Pearson to thank for that. And then guess what? Then he put it in right before he left. They put it. It's not this.
He pulled a snodgrass.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
Ain't that something, y'all? It's almost like that.
Shows the cowardice.
Those are quinkydinkies that I don't believe in quinkydinkies.
There is no such thing. So, if you think this rate increase, this 10% rate increase is gone, you're fooling yourself. It's going to come back, but it's just going to come back little by little. Along with that rate increase, inflation is rising, right? And
the government says 9.6 last month or something
like
that.
19.6.
Well, yeah, he had at least one and a zero.
So, you know, something that happened at the county council was the pay increase for the firefighters in Lugoff, right?
Yeah.
And they hadn't had a pay increase in 8 years.
8 years.
The people that
I had no problem with that.
The people who are in the city of Camden's fire district.
And I'm an anarchist. I'm not here today.
I worked for the city of Camden Fire Department. And I have kept my mouth shut for years about Camden Fire Department and the reason I left there. These guys right now are living in the basement of City Hall because their living quarters burned. It has smoke damage from a fire in the attic. Okay? So it's unsafe for them to sleep in the living quarters upstairs. So now they've been in the basement since that fire. But...
What, no insurance?
They've been fighting over the insurance. It's a mess. But they're allowed to go up there, and they have to use the showers upstairs. They have to use the bathroom facilities upstairs. They have to cook in the kitchen that's upstairs. And they let these guys sit and watch TV up there at night. And they're not allowed to watch TV until 9 o'clock, until after 9. So if the people of Kershaw County care about the firefighters and first responders, nobody's paying attention to what's happening in Camden Fire Department. These guys get a 1% pay increase every year, right? The rate of inflation is 9%, is what the government says. These guys got a 1% pay increase.
And where, you know, the catch 22 is we're advocating taxing ourselves.
Right.
We're saying,
please steal my money.
Yeah, please steal my money. But and that's so ironic. And me being an anarchist, mm-hmm. you know, I want to see all this privatized.
Sure.
But at the same time, how do you get back? How do you get?
Let me finish my point first.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So Camden firefighters are getting a 1% pay increase this coming October. Okay. The budget goes into effect in July, but they push their pay increase till October. Something else that's happening in October is their insurance rates are increasing by 4%. So these guys not only get a pay cut every year because of inflation, they're getting another 3% pay cut because of their insurance that they have to pay for out of pocket. They pay for their insurance. And this is just basic health insurance. They don't get short-term disability paid for, long-term disability. If you get hurt there and you don't have that insurance, you're like on workers' comp, so these guys are getting royally screwed, all right? But they just bought a new $1.3 million fire truck, new rescue truck, that's so big that it can't even fit down most of the streets in Camden.
Huh.
Okay? they were talking about buying this when I was there right before I left, and it was...
I remember when they were discussing.
They were measuring out how big it was and see if it's going to fit in the station. It's freaking massive. And we were all saying, like, why are we buying such a big fire truck? We just get a small rescue truck with no pump on it, no water, just a rescue truck to hold our gear for rescuing people from vehicle accidents or rescuing somebody who fell off of.
But the central planners knew better?
Well, one guy. Two, the chiefs. Right, they're the ones who control. Their kind of way of leadership is saying, if I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. That's, you know. So these men, and I don't know if they have any females working for them, so I'll just say men, work for Camden Fire Department, only getting 1% pay increase. Their insurance gets more expensive every year, so that's basically a pay cut. Every Friday, these firefighters instead of training, like they should be doing, they wash all of the chief's vehicles. Every chief has a take-home vehicle.
All right.
Brand new Tahoes.
Yeah, yeah.
Brand new pickup trucks.
They got some nice vehicles.
Well, yeah, the chiefs do.
Yeah.
So every Friday, these firefighters have to wash and chamois off every chief's vehicle. They take them over to the city lot and put fuel in them. These chiefs don't even know how to put fuel in their own. They don't know how to use the fuel pumps over at the city lot. Okay? And we found that out back during COVID when we weren't allowed to get in. They didn't want us to be driving the chief.
You know? Oh, yeah. Spread the Rona.
One chief will call over and be like, hey, how do you get into this gate? How do you get into the gate to the city lot? What's the code? And how do you use a fuel pump? Come over here and show me how to use the fuel pump. I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here. This is crazy. You know, all the guys that they don't do any real training, right?
Right.
You know, like other fire, like when I moved to a different fire department, I made sure that training was our priority. Otherwise, I wouldn't have taken the job. But the guys there are so dedicated to their jobs that they stay there. But there's a massive turnover problem with the city of Camden Fire Department. But you have a core of real firemen that are hanging on, doing the thing. And
it's a rare thing that somebody gets power and doesn't abuse it.
Yes. What I would say is the people of the city of Camden, go ask the chief there. Go take a tour of your fire department.
If you're going to have government, one of the essential services is fire.
Yeah. Especially when, you know.
Now, parks and recreation and all is not essential.
No.
But putting out a fire at your house seems like pretty essential.
So instead of training, they're washing and fueling the trust vehicles. Instead of training, they go to park bench dedications. Instead of training, they're used like servants, you know, porters around the city. They'll help the historic society move books from the basement up to the next floor, you know, or they'll go raise and lower the flags around the city. They'll do all sorts of little chores and projects that the chief will say, oh yeah, I'll send the guys right over.
You know, right.
No, it doesn't matter. You could be in the middle of a class. They'll stop the class. Hey, I need two guys to go over to the archives and move some boxes.
Right.
Or I need you to go set the clock over, you know, at the archives. Or we need... It's all busy, bunch of
well,
big, you know.
They ought to give them some hand pumps and round up and go around these curbs and all, and spray some Roundup up there and give us all some cancer, and then we could have a class action lawsuit.
Well, they do that around the fire hydrants. They have to maintain the city fire hydrants, so they'll send a guy out in the heat of the summer. They'll send a guy out to weed eat around the fire hydrant. They'll flow it. Check the flow rates,
right.
And then they'll repaint them every year. So every day, Monday through Friday, there's a firefighter that they take off the shift and send them out in the pickup truck to go maintain all the fire hydrants,
right.
Which should be the water crew's duty, right? They're more educated on how to do that than a firefighter. We learn how to fight fires. We don't learn how to maintain hydrants. The city of Camden does.
Right.
You know.
There seems to be a lot of that going on where it's... not my job.
Yeah. So, I've kept my mouth shut about Camden Fire Department, and people always ask me, why don't you say anything? You know what's going on there. Why haven't you said anything? I'll say this, because Camden Fire Department has had a soft spot in my heart. You know, I love the guys there. I love my time there and helping the people of Camden and doing all, you know, but it was the extra bullshit that the chiefs would have us doing. I just couldn't stand it because we weren't training. We weren't practicing on perfecting our craft.
Yeah.
We were going out there and fighting fires, and there was only about five of us that would actually fight fire.
We, in economics terms, call that misallocation of resources.
Yeah.
And the government is a wonderful tool of that. Now, if that was a private entity, it would be held accountable by the people that pay for the service. Mm.
Yeah, and there's a whole lot more that I've been working on behind the scenes for Camden Fire Department that nobody knows about except the people, it's a small amount of people I've talked to, like maybe two people. And these guys need help. They need the citizens. If you're in that fire district, you need to go see what's going on over there and start asking questions. And it really does kind of break my heart to say all this stuff. But those guys put their lives on the line for the people of Camden. and they get treated this way. It's horrible. We're going to take a break. Please pay attention. Listen to our, well, you don't even have to pay attention. Just play through the commercial, please. Go to the Swamp Blog Artisans Gallery, and we'll be right back.
The fact that these logs, it grew in a heavy shade, meant that it grew very slow. And the slower it grows, the tighter the growth rings will be in the wood. The tighter the growth rings, the harder the material. What I consider a true heart pine as a pine tree, it doesn't begin to fill up with the pine chemicals in it that gives it its characteristics until it's about 200 years old. And that pine might have grown to 500 years. A cypress tree can live to 1,500 years, 2,000 years and older, and it fills up with cypressine oil, and that cypressine oil makes it weather and insect impervious. Then the fact that these logs go under water for 100 to 200 years, water will soak all the way into the log, carrying mineral deposits into it, and it imparts different colors into the wood. So when you saw a log open, it's not going to be the same color as if you go out and cut an 80-year-old cypress tree down today. And it can show many varied, different, beautiful colors. We have what we call a collective membership, and we represent the work of about 55 local artisans, pretty much spread over the state of South Carolina. But they all do professional quality work. On our large items, we like to say that it is heirloom quality products. So if you buy a piece of furniture, a table or whatever from us, that table can be enjoyed by your grandchildren.
I think one of the biggest benefits about Sinker Cypress is it's coming from a log, an old growth log. And so if you think about grain and just how tight the grain is on an old growth log as opposed to something that's grown today, it's night and day difference. You can use measurements that are much smaller just because the wood itself is so much tighter and so much denser. The one in the shop he has there, I have as like a display, is 13 pounds. And I have a picture of me holding it on my finger. Yeah, like that. It's pretty amazing.
And like so many other small towns across the United States in the last 40 to 50 years, it has gone into a slow, steady decline. And they realized that for a small town to make a comeback, they can't do business in the old way. They have to reinvent themselves. And the strategy is to seed five or six different businesses, take some of the worst derelict buildings in town and either tear them down or fix them back up and remodel them, where Bishopville can become known as a destination town where people can come and spend a half a day or a day and have enough interesting shops to go into and to bring them in here. I think it's been a great contribution to the community, and we have great hopes to bring Bishopville back and make it all that it has the potential to be.
Welcome back, folks. Thank you for listening to our commercial. We were talking more outside of the studio about education that has been lost. You know, like medicine,
Homeopathy,
yeah, and that was passed down from generation to generation. I think that's really starting to make a comeback. There's a lot of people who are growing their own medicinal mushrooms and more herbs. They're studying.
There are a lot more homeopathic doctors.
Tinctures, people making tinctures. You know, our buddy Mike, RIP in peace, Mike. He made some tinctures that were. You know, you could mix into cocktails and stuff like that. It was really good. But he's got some other homeopathic stuff that he worked with. And
I saw a picture the other day, yesterday as a matter of fact, from 1889. Mm-hmm. It was a pharmacy. And on the facade was a painted cannabis leaf.
Oh, wow. What do you know?
Painted that something.
That's weird.
From 1889. That's not too long ago, y'all. You right. Don't realize that, but it's not that long ago.
Well, that's how we got Coca-Cola and Dr. Pepper, too.
Yeah.
Those were cure-alls for, you know, stomach ailments.
Yeah.
But they actually had herbal medicinal principles back then.
And Coca-Cola has a little Coke. in it.
It still does, but it's just not processed into cocaine, the drug. Dr. Pepper, what else? Root beer, sassafras, all that stuff. But of course,
never back before government started
sugar in it to make it taste better.
Yeah, that's before government started into it with the Rockefeller Foundation and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
Carnegie's.
Right. So we're talking about answers, Jeff. We're talking about how to get on, as Jocko Willink calls it, the path. Right. How do we get back to becoming more self-reliant? So we said you have to first open your mind, recognize that you've either been duped or you're being willfully ignorant, and then you have to take that step. All right, so that the steps are to start questioning what you think are reality.
Question everything. Just pick anything that you want.
Food industry,
and then dig.
Education.
And dig until you are confident in your mind that it's true.
We've seen a few
Wherever the outcome is.
We've seen more and more people do this throughout the past few years, you know, standing up to their local Department of Education, their local school board, right? Local county councils and city councils. And that's a good thing. We just got to maintain that.
I think the wonderful thing is the tiptoe to tyranny has taken four steps or five steps and has become almost self-evident,
right,
even to the most ignorant, because ignorant is not a bad word. It just means you're ignoring.
Right.
You're ignoring. Ignorance can be fixed. I'm still ignorant of so much, but I was severely struck with a case of ignorance.
Right. So we don't have the magic sunglasses that we can put on and see the alien faces and all that shit that's going on behind the scenes. But there is a way to do that, and that's through educating yourself. Read books. Go on YouTube or Brave or Odyssey and listen to these people who are experts in their fields. You know, Jordan Peterson has done great things with just from talking.
Even though I don't agree with everything he says.
Well, no, he's a Canadian. This,
but you're not going to agree with everybody anyway.
Sure.
But you take what you can, what you is worth something to you, and then confirm that, and then take another step.
Like I said about when I was in college and learning, and I took that opportunity to learn how to learn. Right, so the critical thinking skills that come along with that, but also recognizing bias, that you have biases, and you have a thing called confirmation bias, where you want an outcome to be a certain thing so bad that you will start screwing with the data to get the outcome you want.
Yeah.
So you
that's something that I battle to this day.
Absolutely, me too. And it's very difficult. It's something that's psychologically in the human brain that, you know, because we just want to be safe. That's that since we've been on this planet, it's survival, right? Survival's like that. I just got to make it till tomorrow. I got to get this deer so I can live, and you know. That doesn't go away just because we have smartphones.
Yeah.
People just want to be safe. And that's where the government comes in and says, I'll keep you safe.
Yeah.
We'll keep you safe and do what's right. And then that's, we have to.
I'll make sure nobody steals from you.
Right. You just give me.
See the irony? You bump up beside it all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. And if you recognize just that alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at like, vehicles were the ultimate freedom machine, right? Because now you could travel hundreds of miles away from your house, where usually people were in one holler and they never went over to the next holler, right?
Yeah. They were creek cousins.
Right, creek cousins. So it's the ultimate freedom machine, is what they would say back in the 60s, like the Mustang and Camaro, the ultimate freedom machine. And then look what government did. And more regulations, more taxes, more fees, more. Now you got to pay. And basically, you have to say, excuse me, sir, may I please drive my vehicle to the grocery store?
Yeah. And then they play with words, drive and operate and
right.
these kind of things.
Public
like that.
Roads. If you want to use our roads, you have to pay the taxes and you have to have your papers in order.
Yeah. Does that not sound funny?
It's weird.
Does it, you know, doesn't it strike something odd in your mind?
Right.
Well, why is this the way it is? Mm-hmm. And you start digging.
Well, I was pulled over last 2 weeks ago. I got pulled over by the Highway Patrol. I was going 70 miles an hour in a 55.
Right.
Coming home from work, coming up Highway 1. He came the opposite direction, got me, right? So I pulled over. I do my thing. I'm not saying a word. Nice dude. I've actually worked with, on a fatal wreck with this guy before. So, you know, I'm not going to give him a hard time. You know.
No reason to give him a hard time.
Right. I give him my papers. And I sit quietly. He comes back. Everything's in order, I guess. You know, I got the right permissions to be traveling on the roadways. And he said, all right, I'm gonna put you down at 64 in a 55 instead of 70. That way it's not whatever they call it, reckless driving. 2 points.
Anything over 15 so is 4 points.
It's like, I'm gonna take your money, even though you weren't.
I love the point thing, too.
You weren't playing by our rules, and we're going to take some money as a penalty. But, hey, you know, I'm a nice guy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm only going to put you down 64 and a 70.
Yeah.
And, which, okay, whatever. I'm cool with that. But then he pokes his head down and looks around in the car a little bit, and he says, so, where are you heading home from work? And I just turned my head and looked at him with, like, a little half smile. And it was a pause. And I think he recognized me. He knew who I was. And I said, yeah, man. And then I just left it at that. And he kind of laughed, chuckled a little bit. And that was the end of our interaction. And then, of course, he does a U-turn and makes a left-hand turn without using his turn signal to get back on the highway.
It's always rules for thee, not for me.
But that's a case of, like, flexing their power over you. Be like, well, I'm just going to put you down for 64 instead of 70.
Yeah. Because
I'm a nice guy.
This is grace.
Right. They call that discretion in law enforcement.
I call it grace.
So
these are the things that somebody posted, there's a license check over here, la, 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 la.
Yeah.
And people were going, you shouldn't be telling people that. No, the stupid people do stupid things and all kinds of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do you not understand that operating your motor vehicle, your privately owned motor vehicle, has been determined even by SCOTUS, but God himself, to be a right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have the right to travel, freely travel in this country. It's in our Constitution.
And this is basically an unwarranted search.
That's absolutely.
They can justify it whichever way they want.
Right.
And then this lie that it is checking licenses.
That's bullshit.
Bullshit.
They're fishing.
Yeah.
They're pirates. Imagine if you're going on out to sea, and then a pirate ship pulls up alongside of you.
And says, we want to check your license.
We're gonna see what you have going on down in the bottom. We're going to cut your throats and steal your women. This for your own safety, though.
Yeah. I mean, and so you have to start to recognize what's in front of you.
Right.
This facade.
Well, you have to call it what it is. You have to really, it has a name. It's called tyranny, and you need to say it what it is.
Run by a criminal organization.
Absolutely. That play by a different set of rules.
Oh, an actual cult.
Yes.
Because they take your young, and then they indoctrinate your young into the cult.
Yep.
And they wrap them in the red, white, and blue, or the China flag, or the Russian flag, or the Cambodian, whatever flag you want to choose.
Sometimes they come home in a casket draped in that flag.
And then every single one of them uses the Prussian education system.
That's right.
Look throughout the world, and it's the same thing. Like I was saying before, governments take the worst of the worst ideas from every corner of the globe, and they install them in every single government around the globe.
Yeah, that's the World Economic Forum, the UN, the New World Order.
You can name whoever the hell you want. Trilateral, CFR. These groups are all over the place.
Right.
And it comes down to a kakistocracy. Every government turns out the same way. I don't give a shit how much restriction that you put on it. Once it grows, it's going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow. And psychopaths will ultimately run the show.
And they are running the show right now.
Right now.
Yeah. Even at the county level.
Yeah. They don't understand it.
and they have no, they think they're doing the right thing. They're doing something good.
Yeah.
That's what makes them a psychopath.
Is it's so dead totally on. Who was the girl way back when that got indoctrinated to the cult and robbed the bank in California and all?
What was her name? She was a rich.
Yeah, some rich daughter. Woman.
Yeah, they call that the Munchausen syndrome or something, don't they?
Yeah, they got some what kind
they call
of.
That,
it's like a psychiatrist. Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah.
You know, and then they pump you full of drugs. Mm. But, you know, that's why they got Ritalin and
that shit happens in POW camps. Right?
You have to begin to recognize that everything you have is a lie and then question everything. That's the only thing that you really need to do. Question everything and then take action to confirm.
Going right along with the education system is the banking system as well.
Yes.
You know, because people think it's totally normal for you to be in debt to a bank. Or to even just to put your money in a savings account that bank uses to make risky investments with your money. That's why they pay you interest on a savings account.
We create our own enslavement.
Mm-hmm. And then guess what? If everybody goes to the bank at one time to withdraw their money, what are they going to do? They're going to shut the doors to that bank and lock them.
Yeah.
That's called a run. They don't want people to make a run on the banks. So they'll be like, oh, your money's safe. You just can't have it right now.
Yeah. It'll take us a couple of days.
Yeah, it'll take a couple of days. Okay, now. And this is an argument that me and Caitlin have all the time because, you know, she thinks the banks are totally 100% foolproof and safe. She's like, you know, no.
FDIC, don't you know? Insured, the government insures it, y'all.
But then you go one step further and you say, wait a second, my money's not actually in that bank. Where's my money? Oh, well, it's just some digits on a computer. Mm-hmm. And if you go get that paper money out of the bank, what really is that?
Paper money.
It's just paper.
Yeah.
It's not, it has value because we all agree, like, okay, this is $1. What is a fucking dollar? What is it?
It's not, it's 3 cents compared to 1913, I'll tell you that.
That's true. It's not backed by anything except for the good faith of the federal government.
Yeah, ain't that good?
Yeah, so, you know. This is
back to solutions.
Yeah.
Getting out of that system,
mm-hmm.
Ignoring that system. In other words, using cash. Yeah, you have to use the bank to somewhat minimize your exposure to banks.
Right.
And you don't
want to have a house fire and lose.
Use cash
grand.
In transactions because one thing government always wants is knowledge on what the hell you're doing.
Mm, that's right.
That's why they're moving toward digital currencies and all this kind of stuff. So to fight that, you start to use cash in your transactions.
I go a step further is trade and barter.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that, but realistically, not. There's not enough trade and barter to be able to survive.
You can't
go to Food Lion.
No.
You can't go to all these places. That's why as you're building up self-reliance and your community, you have to have like-minded individuals around to trade with. Yeah, we've all been doing that
slowly. It takes a lot of time.
Well, you have to weed out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say, I don't want to be friends with a lot of these people out here.
Well, you know, speaking of friends, in quotation marks, I guess I'll do it friends, on Facebook, I've dropped out of the What's Going On pages. I don't follow the Sheriff's Department anymore. I don't follow Lee Bone. I'm not posting on the What's Going On, whatever the hell, gossip page.
Yeah.
I'm done with it, you know. It's sucking the energy out of me.
Yeah. Social media can be a wonderful tool,
mm-hmm.
but it also destroys you.
Yeah, so I'm focusing on the podcast. I just saw my little baby niece turn 4 yesterday, and so I got to see pictures of her, and they're in Missouri, so I can't, you know, be there for that stuff.
But yeah.
I can see the pictures on Facebook, and that's great.
But and also, puppy dogs and little kittens and TikTok dancing nurses.
Yeah, you see girls shaking their booties. That's kind of nice. Everybody loves that.
You can even see Hunter Biden doing crack.
Yeah. did you see the picture? He's sitting in the isolation tank to relax. And then he looks like he's having a nervous breakdown, so he pulls out his crack pipe.
You couldn't make this shit up. I swear, you couldn't sell it. Hollywood would not buy the clown world that we have now.
Have you seen when one of the senators or whoever the hell, whatever they are, will bring up the Biden laptop and the Hunter Biden videos in like this chamber where they're talking about January 6th or whatever the bullshit is they're doing. I just see little small clips, but wait till you hear how quiet it gets in there when they say, you have the son of the President of the United States on video with small children rubbing his back and his feet, or he's just beat up a prostitute and he's calling his dad for money to pay her off, or he's sitting there smoking crack, and we're worried about what the president was doing the morning of January 6th. Like, he was having breakfast, and we want to get to the bottom of this. Like, the sitting president is literally laundering money through Ukraine. Now he's giving him weapons and money back, and it's so obvious. And then the whole place is just crazy.
Yeah,
we're going to go to a recess.
In clown world, it matters not. I mean, it's the show. They're leading up to the big MAGA return. Right. This is what all this is about.
Yeah.
This is you got to have a clear, distinct two sides here. That's why Steve Bannon and all that. This is all babbling bullshit to keep you distracted from freedom, self-reliance, local communities, and building back better.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term.
Yes.
Freedom, freedom, freedom. You got to go back, people, and think about what that means. What does that mean to you? What are you, what, you know, where does your freedom come from? And what does it mean? Does it mean I can freely go over to Matt's house and steal his pig?
No, there's
going
to be consequences to that.
You know? Right. You know what? So
don't hurt people and don't steal their shit. That's the basic.
And that's pretty much it, right? Yeah. So in there is don't steal shit, right? So if rule number one for every individual, or one of the rules is don't steal nothing, then why, how in the world can a group of people decide to steal and do fire departments and wreck departments and all this kind of shit?
Right.
So if you understand that freedom says I can't steal. Well, who else can steal? Yeah. Nobody.
You gave these
I don't care how hard it is to think about how, who, and what is going to build your fucking roads.
Right.
You know, and the problem is you're stealing, and every time you steal, the outcome is going to be shit. And look at what we've had for 200 years now is building a pile of shit.
That's right. Yeah.
And until we recognize that and quit stealing in the name of the greater good, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we are on the road to hell.
Hell. Literal hell.
Literal hell. Hell on earth.
And we're getting there.
And wearing a mask and getting a fucking test every 3 days.
And get some shit injected in you.
Yeah. What in the hell are y'all doing out here?
Next step's going to be put a chip in your
arm. The answer to government is freedom.
Freedom.
Just freedom.
Drop out.
Freedom will go. If you let freedom, the ideas and principles of liberty loose, that's why they suppress it. They can't stand it. That's why they censor us. That's why they do all this kind of stuff, because the ideas of freedom and liberty are like a fire raging across the prairies.
Yes. And if people just walk away, you don't have to completely.
Once you recognize this stuff, you will go to no ends. There are no ends out here. I will never, ever, ever stop till I quit breathing.
Right. Imagine living in a state where it's illegal to collect rainwater. Can you believe that there are some people who fucking tolerate that? That they tolerate a government that tells them you cannot collect rainwater to drink, to make drinking water out of.
Where was it in Georgia where they went and took over the courthouses and all that stuff way back in the 30s?
Oh, I think it was in Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't remember where it was, but a group of boys got together, went down there and took over the damn Athens. Athens. That's where the Battle of Athens is what it was.
Yeah.
And that's what's coming. Now, you can be peaceful. Peaceful is the only way to do it, but you have to shove off this tyrannical nutcase idea that you can steal for the greater good.
That's what something I've been focusing on is the mentality of the warrior in a garden. You know, Yeah, I'm not going to do violence against somebody, but I'm capable. I want to be capable of it. I want to have the freedom to defend my land and my women and
my
children.
You have a right to self-defense. Yes. Against an aggressor.
Right.
At this point right now, with them stealing anything and everything they want, written down by scribbles on a piece of paper, right. We have the right to abolish and replace. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's written on some damn piece of paper from 250 years ago.
Yeah, they keep it in a basement locked in a vault.
Yeah, and only bring it out in the sun every now and then. you can worship it.
And then they make amendments. They say, oh, we're going to make an amendment for the greater good.
Yeah.
Right? So not only do we have a right, we have a duty to walk away from this.
A duty to your children.
Abolish this.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So there's pain that has to come before growth. We established that.
Always.
Right? So with our government, is going to be a little bit of pain involved? And we're not calling for violence. We're calling for peace, peaceful resolutions.
Freedom is about peace.
It is. Absolutely.
You're not going to get a perfect society because everybody doesn't believe in that. You're going to have criminals one way or the other. But right now we got criminals running the damn ship.
Yes. Psychopaths, that would be said.
Yeah.
And we need to call them what they are. They're really psychopaths.
Yeah.
And they need to be dealt with.
And they want psychopaths always want everybody to love them.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, Ted Bundy was a very likable guy. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And they always say, oh, he was such a nice boy. I didn't know he was cutting cats up and that.
I didn't know he was eating people.
Oh, he's so handsome.
George Bush was a nice guy. I swear he was. He didn't kill but 500,000 Iraqi kids, but, you know, that was the price we had to pay.
Yeah, it was worth it.
It was worth it.
According to what's her name?
Madeleine Albright. Psychopath. John Bolton. Psychopath.
Yeah.
It don't matter which side you are. You think that Joe Biden wasn't a psychopath before he went senile?
You're right. And the people pulling
Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham. Mm-hmm.
It don't matter which side of the two-sided coin that you get.
Yeah, the people running your local school board, even.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
So there's a gray zone that you can work with. It's called agorism. You know, anarchy is would be great. A lot of people don't know what anarchy is, and we're going to get deeper into this. But agorism is a way of, like, you're still in society. You're not withdrawing from society. You're not becoming a hermit and locking yourself away in your own property, which is, if that's what you want to do,
is part of anarchy.
It's part of anarchy. You're participating in the local commerce, right?
You're building new communities.
Yes. And that's really what the point of the show is. We said we want to make Kershaw County the freest county in South Carolina, make South Carolina the freest state in the union. People first need to realize the difference between state and your federal government, that how much power you have as a state. Then you boil it down, how much power you have as a county entity and how much power you have as an individual.
For you guys that are Southerners, you might remember John C. Calhoun.
Mm-hmm.
And Calhoun argued that the power moves down and goes, he went all the way to the county level, that the county can override the state, can override the federal. And that way, he never went down to the individual.
Mm.
He stopped at the county level,
yeah,
which I think he should have gone on down.
Sure.
But even if you take it just down to the county level, that means that we can say, federal government, we ain't sending you this. Federal government, we ain't taking your bribes. State government, this is a stupid rule. We're overriding all this.
You can't do that.
And we begin to build to restrain the government.
Mm-hmm.
To restrain it down to whatever minimum that we can come to
there's something here that
agreement
I want to try in Kershaw County, and I'm going to really make a push for this. In Oakland, California, I don't know what county that is. It's like Oakland and San Francisco, they're all the same county. And everybody likes to bash on, what is it?
Sacramento, I think.
Sacramento County or Moreno?
It don't matter. It's a damn county.
All right, so what they did is they had a bill through their county council called the Decriminalize Nature Bill. Anything, it decriminalizes anything that is natural, that you can naturally grow, that you can collect, It's all decriminalized. And that sounds like, well, yeah, decriminalize nature. Not right. What is criminal about nature? Well, guess what? You can buy spores of certain mushrooms online, perfectly legal, but as soon as you put those spores in the ground, if you spread them in the ground, that's illegal.
Yeah.
A federal crime.
Yeah.
Let's say cannabis, you know, that's a nature, that'll naturally grow. Vegetables, gardens. You had people who would turn their front yards, in California, they would turn their front yards into a garden because they had very limited space. So instead of having green grass, they would turn it into a garden. And the homeowner association or the county government would come by and say, you can't do that. That's illegal. You can't do this. And shut them down and pull everything up out of the ground.
We got lawn care rules and regulations and ordinances here in South Carolina.
Absolutely. Probably here in Kershaw County.
You get down there around Hilton Head and all, one blade of grass is an inch too tall. Hell, they're coming to get you.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You want to put a chicken in your backyard.
And this is what we allow with this this monopoly on violence.
It's not only we allow them, people ask for this tyranny.
Yeah.
They want it.
Well, look at county council here locally.
Mm-hmm.
Hardly a meeting goes by that somebody's not up there trying to rent the gun, begging for this or that or whatever, do-gooder project that they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Lazy bastards won't go and damn fundraise for themselves.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the solutions here are recognizing where we're at now, accepting the fact that we are being controlled by a bunch of psychopaths, take the steps to educate yourself, and then put that education into action. We're not saying burn down City Hall, and we're not saying violently overthrow your sheriff's office, but just do your own thing. Don't steal shit and don't hurt people.
Get together with other people that say, don't steal shit and hurt people.
Yeah, have a community, right?
Yeah.
So that's something that's really missing in this modern world is community.
Look at what we do. We text and everything. We FaceTime. It's a very rare occasion that you get together and talk.
Right.
That's one of the things we like about the farm is there's a whole herd of people throwing ideas and everything around out
even
there.
If it's just to sit there and drink some beers and talk some shit.
That's what it is.
It's all, it's great.
Because everything, it always ends up who's screwing you.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's going to say, you know how much they did this and how much they did that. Well, they is always damn government.
Or you hear somebody say something about the cattle that they just took to the market, and you're like, oh, you raise cattle? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I'd love to get half a side of beef. Okay. Oh, sure, yeah. But what do you I got pigs, so maybe I'll trade you a pig for a half a cow. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, cool. Let's get together after this. There was a gentleman at the last county council meeting talking about the aqueducts, the aquifers, and water. And what are we going to do when there's a water shortage?
Yeah.
And it was a small, because we had the farmer's market and the other shit going on. And so I stopped that man and I got his phone number in my wallet. And I need to call him. I want to get him on the podcast. And he sounded like he's on to something. He knows something. He's on to something. And he was trying to bring awareness to the county. Like, what are we going to do when there's a water shortage?
And I don't remember which government official it was. It was a high up talked about that water will be the new gold.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, the Bushes went down in South America and bought 92,000 acres on the largest known freshwater aquifer in the world. And it's right beside Sun Yun Moon's compound. Yeah. And there's a marine base not very far away from there.
Uh-oh.
Within 100 miles.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, I'm a conspiracy theorist for even knowing something like that.
Now they say you're a crazy conspiracy theorist. That's another thing about education. People don't even know where the term conspiracy theorist comes from.
No.
It comes from your government people, because you were questioning the government. They said, oh, we got to find a way to make these people seem like they're insane because they're actually telling the truth.
Yeah.
So the CIA came up with that term,
conspiracy
theory.
And that was born out of the JFK.
Yeah. And now it's a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Because
guess
what? Well, conspiracy theorists are truth sayers.
Yeah. It's kind of like they call what we have now is capitalism.
Right.
And capitalism is basically free trade.
Right.
But we don't have free trade.
Mm-hmm.
We have nothing ever, it doesn't even resemble free trade.
Like, remember NAFTA, North American Free Trade Alliance?
Yeah, they always lie. Patriot Act, that's another lie.
That's communism and Marxism moving in.
And that came from who? George H.W.?
George.
Little W. That was W. H.W. gave us the Rio de Janeiro Agenda 21 soft policy.
The New World Order.
And Bill Clinton implemented that too.
And Bill Clinton did NAFTA. It was started by H.W. And then you can go back even further and further. And
everybody thinks this is organic.
No.
You know, it just pops up and everything, you know. But no, boys and girls, this is manifested destiny.
Right. There you go.
Dun, dun, dun.
What else you got in your notebook there, Jeff?
Let's see. We need social cooperation versus coercion.
Mm, okay.
Well, what we have now is coercion.
Yeah.
Forcing everybody to do whatever.
That's called, they call it the social contract, right?
Yeah. Like somebody signed a damn thing.
Right. Who the hell signed the contract?
Yeah.
No, you're deciding to tell.
Without
them.
Full disclosure, too. We didn't sign it, and no full disclosure that some psychopaths are running the show.
You know what, like David Snodgrass would say, well, that's why you elect representatives. That's why there's democracy. And we're up here making decisions for you because you elected us and you gave us the power.
Yeah. And the power.
Okay.
Well, you can't take four people that don't have the right to steal, and they vote to steal. You cannot do that. How many people does it take does 100,000 people? If 100,000 people vote to steal, does it make it right? Well, that's what David Snodgrass, that's what Julie Burns, that's what Jimmy Jones, that's what Russell Brazel, that's what Tom Gardner, that's what Sammy Tucker believes. That's what the Camden Council believes. That's what most people believe, is that a whole bunch of people can vote to steal from everybody else.
It's a small group. So let's say this, use this metaphor. People of Kershaw County, or wherever you are listening to this, if your seven county council members showed up on your front porch and demanded that you write them a check or give them cash because they want to build a park in some swamp land, what the hell would you do about that? You would say, get the hell off my porch before I let my dogs out on you, or I'm going to get my shotgun. And they said, not only, if you don't give us that money for this park, we're going to send the sheriff's department out here to get this money.
We're going
to
sell your stuff.
Right, we'll take your land.
We're going to put you out on the street where you can't, unless you got a license, you can't be.
Right. And imagine if that is exactly what's happening. They use the fake. They're behind the curtain. It's the Wizard of Oz. They're behind the curtain pulling levers.
Yeah.
You know, and they make you think they're big and scary, but they're not. They're just people. You see what happens when you show up and you hold them accountable. They freaking run. They go to executive session. They'll cut the microphones off.
Yeah, or you catch them out in the public and start to question them.
Right.
Oh, great guns, I got to go.
I got a meeting I have to go to.
Yeah.
They scatter like cockroaches when you turn the lights on. So the next
power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
And we gave them this power freely. We just gave it to them because we're lazy. That's called complicity. Being complicit. Right? You're complicit in your own fucking robbery.
And yes, you were indoctrinated to believe all this fairy tale and everything.
Through the public education.
Yeah, I mean, I believed the fairy tale till I was 47. Yeah. I'm a late bloomer.
Well, they teach you checks and balances, right? There's checks and balances in our government. If one branch of government steps out of line, the other two branches step in and stop them from
doing it. Yeah, how does that work,
right.
Dog?
Yeah. How's that? You know, because guess what?
We investigated ourselves, y'all.
They investigate ourselves, and we found that we did nothing wrong. I think, you know, we've really beat this horse enough, Jeff. And
yeah, I think so.
We're calling for people to just wake up. And the solution is to educate yourself. Take more responsibility in your daily life. Be self-sufficient. Grow a damn garden. It doesn't, you know, you'll see the freedom in paying less for your groceries every week because you have food that just grows in your own yard.
Yeah, I'm willing to find a place and set a time for a regular meeting of just town hall discussions, right. You know? Open mic, let's talk. What's on your mind?
Yeah. We've talked about doing that before. Do a podcast live and have people come out. But usually it's the haters that say, oh, you just hide behind your microphone. You hide behind the keyboard. And I say, well, guess what? I'm going to be at the Highway 1 Cafe at this time eating lunch. You're more than welcome to come join me.
I'm even talking about
like-minded people.
If you don't even record it or whatever, and you just meet and
there's
you start to talk, because right now we're entering a time that has been repeated many times throughout history.
Yeah.
It's a time of social struggle. Mm-hmm. It's a time of needed conversation. It is a time for debate. What is freedom? What is it? And what are you going to do to achieve it? Or do you even want?
Yeah, so let's get together and talk about it. There's a group, a Facebook group that is local, Liberate Carolinas. If you want to get on this, and if they meet once a month, they usually go to like the axe throwing or some cool restaurant.
Well, if you're on the video, if you're watching this on video, and I'll leave a comment down there. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good idea. I'd try to go to the meeting or whatever. Y'all just let us know.
I mean, I got some property here. We can bring a lawn chair and we'll sit out and have a bonfire. Yeah. I mean, not now. It's like 1,000 degrees outside.
Yeah, but I mean, we can do it inside. We can do it outside. If you got a suggestion for a place,
doesn't have to be the same place every time.
No,
you know, we had a little get together down at the swamp park, right, and had some people get together, and then we had some speakers, and you know, some people, you know, a good amount of people showed up. Maybe it's time to do that again, Jeff.
Mm, maybe. But we've got to start this debate. We've got to, if you don't see the tyranny coming by now. You may be totally lost, but if you're listening to this, you're not. So, maybe it's time that we get together and talk.
And putting comments on the YouTube page, go to iTunes, comment there. You can rate the show if you think we're totally off. You know, let us know. If you want to give us a 1-star review there, that's fine.
I've been called crazy. If you think I'm crazy, call me crazy.
You can leave voice messages on anchor.com/SwampFoxNetwork. We're on Telegram, t.me/SwampFoxNetwork. I'm not on Twitter anymore. Deleted my account. It's gone. Facebook, it'd be hard to get a hold of me there anymore, but you can email me at votematpodcast@gmail.com. A lot of people in the community know me. You can come up and talk to me. I don't care. But, you know, let's do it. I'll be at the next county council meeting because I'm just curious to see how many people show up.
Yeah, I'm going to. I
want to see this H-tax, see if it comes back on the agenda.
I don't think this time.
We'll see. They might wait a little while.
Yeah, they're going to wait a little while.
So the next one is, I think it's August 8th.
Yeah, they're on their 1-month schedule. Yeah. You know, years ago when they first introduced that thing, I went up and talked to him, and I said, you know, y'all are on the right track here. Mm-hmm. Now all you need to do is eliminate all the meetings.
Just get rid of it. No. Let's go to one meeting a month for the whole entire year, and then no meetings. Or maybe once a quarter.
They don't even need it that much.
No.
I mean, set the budget and go home.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much it.
Let the bureaucrats run the bureaucracy. Yeah.
Oh, well, you'd also have to have a working committee on how these are the ordinances we're getting rid of.
Right.
These are the ones that we need to put in to protect us from the state and the federal government.
Yeah.
This is our vision.
Yeah.
Our vision for 2030 is free. Free as we can achieve between now and then we'll set the goals to get even more free.
Right.
We'll talk about stuff like sovereign wealth accounts.
Uh-oh.
That would maybe over a period of 20 or 30 years set up that all your essential services would be paid for in perpetuity,
mm-hmm.
where you could leave your kids and grandkids something that they don't have to ever pay for.
Like fire fees.
like fire fees and
massive
and whatever
budget.
Police that you want or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. A minimal government can be paid for in perpetuity. Mm-hmm. If you invest the funds at a correct manner, Bill Gates, a Rockefeller Foundation, look at what they've done, and look at what Bill's done now. He's got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars that is not mine.
Right.
But that jet's paid for.
And his farmland that he's buying is paid for.
Yeah, yeah, the same damn principle for us.
All right,
us little boys.
Thank you for watching on YouTube. Please make sure that you like, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Is that right, Jeff?
Yeah, the ding dong.
That's cool. Do that. This is
that's the obligatory.
Obligatory.
That's it. So many more get me.
I have my mushroom. I drank some mushroom coffee this morning.
Oh goodness!
Lion's mane and chaga mushrooms.
Drank Folgers.
Folgers. Yeah. I put a little Folgers in there.
A little cheesy grits, some bacon. Mm-hmm. And hey. Yeah, I got to keep Josephine happy, don't you know?
Open your minds. Don't trust the government. And don't forget that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. Thank you, Jeff, for coming out and bringing your camera.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you to the Peanut Gallery for doing our fact-checking for us and running the camera equipment. And
thanks to all you guys for listening.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Please let us know what you think. Bye-bye.
Before, too, a libertarian's just an anarchist that hasn't made it that far
months.
Yet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, I'm at the minarchist state right now.
Yep, you're getting there.
I'm a minarchist.
You're hard-headed. That's all I like.